Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your recap episode for this week's Sanderson Farms Championship. Joining me to break it all down, Mark Immelman is here. Mark, good evening.
Hello, Rick and Greg. How are you guys doing?
Doing well over here. Greg Ducharme also on the line. Hello, Gregors.
Rick, nice to see you, both of you, after your Roman conquests. I hope that went really well.
Gregors is a Roman name, by the way. Gregorio.
Okay, Gregorio.
Good to be back. Good to be home.
Yeah.
Yeah, finally. I mean, what, planes, trains, automobiles, you did the whole thing, huh?
Whatever it takes. Yeah, I put a lot of tread on the old feet too. I mean, it's Europe's a walking. That's a walking continent over there.
Oh yeah, backpacking, right? That's the way it's supposed to be. So yeah. I'm glad you guys are back, and I hope it went really well. And hey, Sanderson Farms in the books. What a finish to this golf tournament. I can't quite say what a week, that was some finish.
What an hour. It was a heck of a run at the end. I had no idea who was going to win.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much from the Carl Yuan slam dunk.
Jeez, that was crazy.
To the end, it was, you didn't know what was going to happen. It was wild.
Well, that shows you how crazy golf is, Greg, to your point. I mean, yes, Yuan, who barely looked like he hit the thing on the club face for the last 9 holes. And all of a sudden, you had one shot and you have a chance to win. It's golf is just crazy that way, especially on a Sunday.
You know, I did think real quick, Rick, I thought Yuan hit when I was watching earlier. I was like, that was the at number 8 early on in the coverage. This feels like it was so long ago. He hit this shot with his feet in the stream and got it up and down for par. It was the most incredible par I've ever seen. I thought he was going to fall over. I thought we were going to see something that just gets memed all over the place. And he hits it long right of the green, which was shocking, and then gets it up and down. And that wasn't even that's the forgotten shot, because he goes on and dunks it. So he gave us some fireworks today.
Well, Mark, this was setting up to be a Sunday coronation for Ben Griffin. You know, we were pulling out the record books. We were trying to see what the scoring record was going to be. Ben Griffin was essentially unstoppable through 3 rounds, 67, 63, 66. And this was kind of his tournament to lose. And he showed us again how difficult it is to win on the PGA Tour. Things got very loose for him on Sunday afternoon. He bogeys both 8 and 9. He bogeys 12 and 16 and 18. He was all over the yard, still gave himself a chance in the playoff, but Ben Griffin is going to look back and have a lot of what ifs tonight.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm conflicted on this, because for a while, you know, after he's bogeyed at 8 and 9, he bounces back with 1 on 11, but then bogeys 12. I'm like, golly, this is scar tissue from Bermuda last year. We had also a pretty handsome lead, and then spilled the thing over the last few holes. I remember him making, I think it was a bogey on a par five there in Bermuda. That's essentially like an iron and a short iron for the guys. And so I'm like, oh goodness, this is some of the those demons that come back to haunt you when you haven't finished one off. But then on the other hand, I'm watching a guy when he makes a putt and hits shots, I can see playing with some swagger. I mean, there's fist pumps and he's walking after shots. And then I see some smiling with his new caddy there. I'm like, okay, well, he's sort of in control. But it was ragged coming down the stretch. And to me, like I texted you guys, it just once again proves that it's really hard to win on the tour. And Sunday's just hit differently. Goodness gracious. Because he didn't look like he could match up the driver whatsoever. And playing to those fast greens, you have to play from fairways because year in, year out, those greens around Jackson Country Club are unreal.
Yeah, only three fairways did Ben Griffin play out of on Sunday, Greg. And it was just every time they would cut to him, there was a rules official in tow. There was an awkward stance and a weird lie and a lot of questions. And it's one of those moments where, you know, we're watching it at home saying, man, the world must be spinning pretty fast for Ben Griffin right now.
And that's an area that's really difficult to overcome on the PGA Tour. And the thing is, they were so one direction. Everything went to the right. Everything went to the right. And he just couldn't figure out how to get it in play. Perhaps there's really a fear of what kind of creeps in and a overcompensation is a big fear for him. But it was a tee shot to the right after tee shot to the right. And I mean, he ended up losing over three strokes off the tee today. And he lost 2.8 strokes for the week. That's his biggest weakness on the PGA Tour as well. You know, I mean, he hits 53% of his fairways entering this week. It's a weakness for him. And when you start getting under pressure, the inability to get the ball in play it becomes very problematic. Things start to compound. And that's when you get in situations where things start moving really fast. There's nothing basic, nothing straightforward about it because you're constantly under trees. I mean, how are you prepared for this round of golf unless you're practicing punch outs all day? You know, so that's when it becomes very difficult when on a golf course that's pretty wide, that's pretty open. You know, you shouldn't really be getting in too much trouble with errancy off the tee. But because these misses were so big, he found himself in a lot of precarious situations.
Well, if I might add to that, you know, for someone of Ben Griffin's ilk, because he's a good player, he's got some game, of that there's no doubt. And he's a cool story, you know, having kind of been decent in college, then packs in the game, works in finance for a while, and then finds a sponsor, is out on tour, has had two shots to win. You start to, because these chances aren't going to roll around that often, respectfully, for a Ben Griffin. Now, if you Rory McIlroy and you spill one, you're like, okay, next time I'm out, I'm likely going to be around and about the lead. But so you start to wonder that, and I'm sure this evening he'll rehash this and maybe tomorrow, but he's got to get back in the saddle and figure this out quickly because next week in Vegas, I mean, if you're missing off to the right-hand side, you're playing from cacti and stuff. Ask Rick, he'll tell you what it's like over there. So
brutal.
Look, I've got big respect for his game. I've watched him some. He looks like he's got a great attitude, but I'm with you. You've got to sort this out fast because when you're vying for a lead, it's ostensibly offense on the tour. You can't be falling your way into a victory. That certainly doesn't happen.
Well, despite the five squares on the scorecard, Ben Griffin still gets himself into a LeBron James, not one, not two, not three, not four, five-man playoff with Luke List, Scott Stallings, Henrik Norlander, Ludvig Åberg. Greg, this is an eclectic group, not a ton of wins under their collective PGA Tour belt. Ludvig is seemingly on top of the world at the moment, so he's kind of the guy that everyone has tabbed as the most likely winner in this playoff. But remember, he sat around for a very long time before this playoff started.
And he is just coming off the Ryder Cup, so there's so much attention on Ludvig. But you look at this playoff, and it's hard to remember the last time Henrik Norlander has been in contention. Scott Stallings played some really, really good golf last year, but quite frankly, didn't play all that great today. So he wasn't coming in striping it, you know, charging from behind to get into a playoff. There wasn't really a favorite. I mean, the same with Luke List. He played some solid golf, but it wasn't like he was on a torrid pace. Ben Griffin's fighting it. So all these guys kind of have their question marks heading into the playoff, and there's nobody with their name circled who's likely to win except Ludvig. Because of what he's done in the Ryder Cup, his performance, coming in and performance through the week and getting in contention is unbelievable. I know he played in the Ryder Cup, but he was still a college golfer in this calendar year, which is just, it's hard to wrap your head around. So, but you go through his round today and you just see the assets that he has at his disposal, and they're incredible. He constantly is hitting it 334, 313, 326 in the fairway. You know, this is a reliable driver of the ball. Granted, there were a few loose ones today. A couple loose ones on some par fives as well, but it's very rare. It's much more likely to see him turning a 480 yard par four into a driver and a flip wedge from the fairway. You know, he makes the game look really easy. And because of that, now you say, well, okay, he's got to learn how to maybe control his distances a little better with the wedges, right? Hit irons a little bit closer. Maybe that's the one area of weakness in his game right now would be his iron play. And you look at what he did on the DP World Tour to get onto the Ryder Cup team. You look at what he did this week, finishing eighth in strokes gained approach for the week. And all of a sudden that area is starting to look a whole lot better too. And he looks like a seasoned professional. So this was probably a surprise spot in a playoff. He probably walks off the 72nd hole saying, hey, that's a pretty good week. I'm getting closer, but all of a sudden he's in a playoff. And I bet you that was really surprising for him.
He had to be absolutely gassed because Rick, I know you're feeling the jet lag.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You know, up till a couple of days ago, I was come 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I was like, it's time to go to sleep kind of thing. So that was the first thing. Two things about Ludvig. I had him at John Deere earlier this season, and you speak of the way he drives it, Greg. I mean, I watched him some at Detroit, but he was the group in front of mine. Then I called him at John Deere, and the way he drives it is just superhuman. But the way he hits his wedges is so cool. They're lower flighted. They really spin hard. And the funny thing about this, you know what social media is like, right? So I get to go out and tour fairly often, and I'm always videoing golf swings when I can because it allows me to research and look into it. And I just pop them onto social media on my Instagram account or whatever the case might be. And I just put the swing out there. And then, of course, Twitter or whatever starts to have a go. And all the closet armchair golf instructors come out of the woodwork kind of thing. And there's this one guy going, oh, goodness, the way his hips slide on the way back and the spin out on the way through. I mean, this guy is never going to last. And I want to go to this guy, whoever this person was that tweets this. I'm like, really? Have you ever seen this guy play? Because, you know, if there were that many compensations, he wouldn't hit the thing as squarely as what he does every single time. But every time he makes a pass, that golf ball is hit right out of the middle of the club face. I mean, every time. He just absolutely flushes it.
There's not a technical issue that's keeping him out of the winner's circle at this point, right?
He must be exhausted this week, though. Yeah. That's all it was.
Well, we were settled in for a long one because when all five players got to the first tee, the ominous words from the rules official were, if this playoff continues into tomorrow, which is likely, that got everybody a little bit nervous. But we did not have to wait long, gentlemen, to get a resolution because on the first playoff hole, Luke List rolled in a 43-foot birdie putt, dodged a couple of bullets after that, and captured his second career PGA Tour victory. Greg, there is kind of a lot to unwrap here, but in a world of Luke List victories, Luke List snippets, or Shots a 43-foot birdie putt does not appear very often for a guy who has routinely struggled with the putter during his career.
No, I mean, he may be the absolute captain, leader of Team No Putt.
Hall of Famer. Just absolute Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, right? He's the kind of, you know how we are, Mark. We're handicapping these guys, and usually those players who struggle with the putter, it's okay, well, you know, there's a good chance that he has a good putting week. And this is makes it a great DFS play, or you know, a really good bet for that reason. And Luke List falls so far into the Team No Putt category where it's so unlikely that he's going to have a good putting week. It's hard to even play him. He's gotten to the point where the putting is a real hole on a week to week to week basis. Yet he comes in here this week and putts beautifully.
Yeah.
Beautifully. I mean, aside from the 43 footer, which will steal the show and get all the headlines, Luke List gained 6 strokes putting this week.
Which that 43 footer doesn't even count for. So think about that.
Right. Right. And so that's why he's in the playoff. And when Luke List putts well, he performs well, and he contends. But it just doesn't happen very often. I mean, looking through his stuff, he had a couple of better putting weeks actually recently, which is a good sign. You know, he's gained strokes putting in 3 out of his last 4 heading into this week, so that's a really good sign. But before that, I mean, if you scroll down the putting column on RickRungood.com. A great week is losing a stroke.
If you scroll down that column, Greg, bring your sunglasses. It's a very bright shade of red.
Yes. And that, of course, signifies that he's losing on the greens. But he did say in his interview afterwards, I've been working really hard at it. I've been playing some of the best golf that I've played in a while. And I'm sure that he's been putting a lot of time into the putter. And boy, did it pay off this week.
I'll tell you what, Greg, he is a conundrum for me because the guy's a Ferrari from tee to green. There's a Hemi under that hood. And he just carries it a mile, and he's so graceful and elegant doing it. But remember, you know, to your Team No Putt thing, you'd expect him to sort of play well at a Torrey Pines where folks are just getting absolutely flummoxed by perennial greens and balls bouncing all over the show. And he won there this year. Okay, he just outlasted the field with the ball striking. But just before that, he hooked up with a putting instructor, and his words to me were, I said, so what have you changed? And he basically went, I've completely overhauled my approach to putting mentally and physically. So his whole concept of the putting stroke was changed. And it looks to me like with what he's doing, it's sort of remained. I mean, he's now building on something. And now he gets to a place where you're feeling somewhat confident. The greens down there are like billiard tables. They're so smooth and they're fast. And because they're fast, you don't have to overhit them. And you know when you've got to give a putt a little extra, if your hands are electric or whatever, it's easy to get the face out of whack. So now he can just do what he's doing. So it's cool to see because he's the kind of guy when you watch him hit, you would expect him all the time to be someone contending. But the putter does hold him back. But if he can continue in this sort of a vein with the gears he has, I mean, it's going to be cool to see what's in the future for him.
Yeah, certainly. What did you call him? A Ferrari, Mark? Is that the car you used?
I'll go. Yeah. Italian, man. We were there last week.
That's right. So here you go. Last 200 rounds. That's essentially a 2-year sample size for most golfers. Here are the only players who are better than Luke List from tee to green. Scottie Scheffler, Patrick Cantlay, Russell Henley, Hideki Matsuyama, Corey Connors, Daniel Berger. Daniels go back a little bit further than that. Sung J.M., and that's it. So Luke List is a top 7, top 8 tee to green player essentially over the last 2 years. That flat stick, really the thing that has caused him trouble. And I'm glad Mark brought this up, Greg, because the victory at last year's Farmers, the win also in a playoff over Will Zalatoris, Luke List has not played particularly well since then. In fact, he's missed a ton of cuts. I'm scrolling through this. I believe his best finish over that, geez, what are we in now? 18 months is a T16 at the Memorial. He finished T11 at the Tournament of Champions, but that's a smaller field. I mean, it has been a lot of struggles for Luke List, and now he snaps it with another victory.
You know, I look through some of these statistics, and I'd be curious even if you went back even farther than 200 rounds, if it would get better. Because, you know, looking through some of these, he had some moments of struggling, never with the driver, but some moments of struggling a little bit with the irons, especially earlier on this year in the April, March kind of time frame. And I wonder if that's effort on the greens, right? Spending so much time working on this overhaul of putting that things slip just a little bit tee to green. Now, the other possibility when it comes to that is you feel like you got to knock it in the hole to make a birdie. And having a big hole in your game on or around the greens can be very stressful. And you see it with his short game, too. His short game really struggled until about July this year. We started to have some better weeks around the greens. And the thing with those two areas, iron play and short game, is they're always attached to what happens with your putting when you're actually playing, when you're thinking about your score. In order to make a score, I got to hit this close. And in order to make a birdie, I got to basically knock it in because I'm going to miss. The only player I've really ever seen hit the ball so well, knowing that there's an issue on the greens, is Scotty Scheffler. He's the only guy in my kind of time frame where he hasn't allowed the putting struggles to affect his strategy and to affect his tee to green ability. So maybe that happened a little bit for Luke List, but it seems like all of a sudden now, maybe the Fortinet where he finished tied 25th was a big step in the right direction for him after missing the playoffs. And then all of a sudden, here he is in the winner's circle. Going back to the Masters, likely now he's projected 61st in the FedEx Cup. So likely now to get himself into the first two designated events of the season.
Yeah. So Mark, you know, we have to try to wrap our heads around this new FedEx Cup fall. So the way that this is shaking out is Ben Griffin, despite the tied for second, will move into the 51st spot in the standings, which is essentially the first guy who is not in that magic top 50 from last season. Luke List will be 61st, so essentially 11th in those standings. So it's the money, and it is obviously the reshuffling, getting yourself a lot of playing opportunities, not only early in 2024, but then hopefully being able to carry that over into the vast majority of the year.
Yeah, and those 10 guys that get into the special events, the signature events, I think is the name now.
They'll have something new by it will be done with signature events in a couple of weeks. It'll be something different.
Well, to the fall events, the fall swing or whatever this thing's called, there are not many of them. This wraps officially the week before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And we are almost in the middle of October right now. So you're looking at, well, it's Vegas next week. And then I think then they do go to Japan for Zozo, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. And there's one or two more. So I think there's four or five events left.
Five, I believe. Seven total.
Yeah, yes. we've done two of seven.
Yeah, so if you're sitting pretty, if you're someone like that right now who's had the big finish, you're up there on 51, because it's going to take a lot of guys to unseat you. I think it's more the – I was gobsmacked when I saw there that Aubert, or I'm still Aberg to me, but Ludvig Aubert was like 132nd or something on the points list. So for me, the intriguing story is, you look here for the audio listeners on what the fall events are. I think the intriguing story is still trying to get in the 125 for a number of guys to earn their card for next year. So look, it's going to be fun stuff. There's lots of different golf courses. There's Bermuda, there's Japan, there's they go down to Mexico, I believe, right? Am I looking correctly?
Michael, right?
Yep. So we're going to go. So Vegas next week, then Zozo. Then I actually think there is a week off to let them come back before they go to Mexico, then Bermuda, then the RSM Classic. That's it.
Yeah. So, and RSM is sweet. So there's a lot to play for, but I think the really interesting thing are the 125ers. And for Aubert, who now after this finish moved inside of that pretty comfortably. I think is at one projected 115 or 111 or something.
113.
Yeah, that is the big deal to me. But look, for those guys who get in the top 10 and book their way into those the signature events, I don't want to say that's free money, but it's kind of free money. And you can perpetuate yourself there with points too, because there are more points in those events and you get a little run going on early in the year and then you advance into the next few. Heck, you could set up a really big year. You really could.
Well, speaking of guys getting their tour card, 30 of them from the Korn Ferry punched their tickets and are tour bound as of today, Korn Ferry Tour Championship. Before we talk about that, any final thoughts on the Chicken Championship, or would you like to move on to other news around the world of golf?
Best greens on tour, man. That is an underrated good event, that one. I'll tell you what it really is.
I like it as well. Okay. We've got Korn Ferry grads. We've got an event across the pond that looks like they're playing in a pond, and we've got much more. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners. Did you know more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Spoiler alert, your feet don't have to hurt. And I know foot biomechanics can be complex, but solving foot pain should be simple. It's a signature orthotic shape of the super feet insoles that give you the comfort and support where you need it the most. It redistributes and reduces stress and strain on your entire body. Think about those long walks on a golf course and how uncomfortable your feet can get. Well, they don't have to. And super feet has helped millions of people worldwide experience the life-changing magic of comfy, pain-free feet. When your feet feel good, so do you. It is one of the most important parts of your overall health and well-being. And for a limited time, Superfeet is having its biggest sale of the year. Go to superfeet.com to save 25% off site-wide and get free shipping. Hurry, sale pricing ends June 5th. It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. And we're back. Gentlemen, 30 new golfers just got their PGA Tour cards via the Korn Ferry Tour Championship. I'm not going to read through all of them, but a few notables, Greg, and you can kind of take this any direction that you want. Alejandro Tosti grabs the card. Both
knew you were going to go there.
I mean, that was a layup, right? I mean, that's too easy. This guy, he is going to be, we're going to be talking a lot about him. Good, bad, indifferent. We're going to be talking a lot about Alejandro come 2024. Both Cootie brothers, Greg, Pearson, and Parker are in. Grayson Murray back with a tour card. And Norman Jeong also punching his ticket back to the big circuit, a former Haskins winner. What do you see out of these group of fellas?
Also, Joe Highsmith played at Pepperdine with Sahith, so he stands out to me. You got Chris Goddard. We expect to get in there. He did earn his PGA Tour card. You also have Rafael Campos. I'm not sure if you saw his video, but extremely emotional. He was the 30th man in, missed a putt late, and thought he was going to end up in on the outside looking in. And he ends up getting his PGA Tour card, which is pretty cool. You know, that video, it really highlights it really highlights to me how important this is and how difficult it is, and the difference between the Korn Ferry Tour and the PGA Tour. And these guys, are their games are not far off. Oftentimes they're plenty good enough, but the, you know, what it takes to get through the Korn Ferry Tour is extremely difficult. You don't have a lot of the luxuries of the players on the PGA Tour. So, you know, you miss a putt like that, you think that's what you need to get in, and it really hurts. So kind of a beautiful moment in the game, if you will, at least for him. But the other one that sticks out to me is Grayson Murray. Now, he knew he was going to get in, so that isn't news this week. But listening to Grayson Murray, who has kind of been an extremely talented player, but had some, you know, issues, attitude issue. You've seen him reach out on social media and, you know, get after guys like Rory McIlroy and, you know, do some kind of wild card things. Seems to have really changed the direction of his life in general. And he kind of decided that enough is enough. He came on the radio show, A New Breed of Golf, and did a wonderful interview, and is working with a new mental coach now, and has really made some big strides and seems extremely confident. So with all his talent, I'm really looking forward to seeing what Grayson's able to do.
Yeah. And Mark, I'm kind of interested to see how this ends up shaking out, right? You know, one of the things that we've been speaking a lot of over the course of the past year or so is going down to 70 for the playoffs, going down to those 50 kind of, I don't want to say guaranteed, but like the prime tier to be in on the PGA Tour, yet we're still injecting 30 new players from the Korn Ferry Tour. I'm interested to see how these guys survive, battle it out, get themselves into some of these events, because the talent's not stopping anytime soon. These guys are good. They're coming. They're going to displace a lot of guys. Like it is really a free for all now.
It really is. And it just once again highlights the discrepancies between the LIV League and the PGA Tour in terms of the strength and the strength of the field. So yeah, if you're a Korn Ferry grad, you got to get busy from your start. And that's the problem. It's like, what events are you actually going to get into? Because the PGA Tour guys, the guys who are kind of in, realize it's 70. So you're not going to get guys taking off random weeks and stuff. You like we saw Justin Thomas, for argument's sake, playing the Wyndham Championship to get into 70. So you'll see a lot of that sort of thing. So it will be dog eat dog. And to that, there are a couple stories from this that jumped out to me. I think first off, to the guys you listed, I'd add to that list Paul Barjan, a Frenchman. I mean, he can go. And he's been on the tour. He's sort of fallen away. He's got lots of game. He was a stud at college at TCU in Fort Worth. Watch out for him. But then the big story is, you talk about the Rafa Campos thing and him getting in, and it was like an awesome moment in golf. Then you get the shadow side of that with Shad Tootin. They were playing Lift Clean in Place, and he replaced the golf ball, and it rolled, and he played it, gets dinged too, and misses his card. And this is the reality of the game we play, where, I mean, you talk about how Ben Griffin might be feeling tonight. How about the way Shad Tootin is feeling tonight after that? You know, when he had a good season on the Korn Ferry Tour, and now he's sitting here this evening going, really? I mean, that has got to be a sucky place to be.
And it's my understanding that so when you're playing Lift Clean in Place, he places it, it rolls forward, he plays it from there. If he would have tried, he should have tried to place it a second time.
Then he would have got one.
Right.
Yeah, and he would have been fine, I think.
And he would have been fine.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Man. Right. Yeah, he didn't play it after it rolled. He placed it again, not on the exact spot.
Right. Right. Which he is supposed to try a second time worse. Try it a second time on the original spot.
Yes.
He didn't do that. He put it on like a new spot. It was like, it was basically like he skipped a step. Like, I know it's not going to stay here again. I'm just going to go forward in this.
I honestly, quite frankly, I don't even know how anybody caught it.
I saw the video was like a grainy zoomed in from I don't know how anybody saw it. Obviously it doesn't give you any advantage whatsoever.
No, that's the hardest. It's brutal because I kind of stayed in two places. Sorry, Mark.
No, it makes me sick to my stomach. I mean, I've known him. He's from Savannah, Georgia. And there used to be a university down there in Savannah called Armstrong Atlantic that has subsequently sort of been blended into Georgia Southern University. And Shad played for Armstrong, and he was a good player. And so I sort of knew him a little. But now to hear the story and to hear your – because I caught wind of this. I didn't see it happen. But this – it's just grisly, man, when stuff like this happens.
And I sit in two different places at the same time with – you know, on one side, well, you got to know the rules, right? And I think there is a real value and an importance in knowing the rules, and everybody needs to play by the same rules. And then on the other hand, it's like, how can that be the difference between, you know, having your PGA Tour card and not? And it just breaks your heart. Cause like you said, Rick, you're in the fairway. There's no competitive advantage there. Nothing. It's two inches
away from the spot that he should have been. Not even.
It just seems like such a technicality. And I'm sure there's a reason for it in another situation. So I get it. It's hard to make rules and hard to enforce them because there are so many different situations, and the game of golf does a great job having a rule for all of the normal sport situations, right? There's always a rule for it. It's just tough.
Well, this takes me back. I mean, in a funny sort of a way, it's comparative, and I'm showing my age, you know, back when tour school was a thing and you had six rounds of qualifying, PGA Tour qualifying out there at, the stadium course in La Quinta, PGA West. And the ninth hole was a mean par four. And I can't remember the player's name, but he had to make four to get in. And he hits his approach shot, hits the flag stick, kicks in the water, and misses. That is the game we play, sadly. But, you know, in every sport, there'll be players that can recount stuff, you know, the barroom sort of conversation. So it's nasty, and I feel real sorry for him right now.
The other video that just came across my feed was Q School in 2000 when Joe Daly, his putt hits the back of the cup and pops out because the cup was put in there wrong. I mean, this thing is dead in the heart. It is perfect. We saw it actually happened at LACC, right?
Yes. I was just
Gordon Sargent.
That's right.
But it was like early on. It was like early on Sunday or Saturday or Sunday. He was one of the first players out and did the same exact thing. It was in the heart and it popped out. And they actually went out and fixed it. Could you imagine if that was Wyndham Clark tapping in for the U.S.
Right. Tapping in, you do everything right, and it just doesn't go in.
All the Rory McIlroy fans would be happy. I told you, every shot makes someone happy and someone sad.
That's right.
So sick. Speaking of happy and sad, let's do the best bets. Greg and Patrick took care of these for us. Patrick, despite his positivity, whiffed, and that's okay because Greg helped us out here in a few ways. He got the push on the matchup. Russell Knox gets the job done at 3-1 to finish inside the top 30, and then he backed it up with the Hoagie man, Tom Hoagie, inside the top 20 at +230. So Greg, hat tip to you, my friend. Well done.
Yes, we needed it. You know, I said this to Patrick on Tuesday. I let in the Ryder Cup my bias and emotion completely overruled my analysis. And so I lost, and anybody who bet with me lost. And I'm happy to get myself back here and end up in the black after 2 weeks, three weeks here, my second week. So I'm happy to redeem myself from an extremely disappointing Ryder Cup, which I'm glad we're not talking about anymore.
All right. Well, I've got two more topics that we need to get through, and we will do that after we hear some quick words from our partners.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're back. Gentlemen, the DP World Tour is taking on water. The Alfred Dunhill Links Championship has been on hold. They did not play Saturday. They did not play Sunday. They got something like 79 millimeters of, I don't know, they use some type of unit that it was a lot of water. Okay. And this is the event in which that gets played across three different courses. Josh is showing, if you're watching on YouTube right now, Carnoustie is essentially underwater. I do not know what they are going to do about this. So they are going to try to finish this out on Monday and reduce it to a 54 hole event. St. Andrews and Kings Barnes are both going to have tee times at 9 a.m. on Monday morning. And Carnoustie, Greg, they're going to take every minute they can get. They're going to start 2.5 hours later and roll with a shotgun start. That is the most optimistic plan. If you've seen the photos, if you've seen the videos, I think there is a legitimate chance that this thing gets washed and just like it's a non-event.
Well, if you were watching on YouTube or are and saw that picture, the previous picture, it did not look like Carnoustie. It looked like DPC Sawgrass.
Yes.
And I was pretty sure that was 17 out there.
Yeah, Carnoustie now has 18 island greens as well.
You know, I really thought that course was due for some updates because it was just getting way too easy. That is hard. It's hard to picture that getting resolved overnight. And if my understanding is, if it's not playable, there will be no play anywhere. So it will. It's up to Carnoustie. It'll get washed if they can't go at Carnoustie, which is disappointing. And of course, you have a Ryder Cupper in the lead right now. Matt Fitzpatrick,
that's right,
has a one shot lead. Couple of other interesting names there too. You got Billy Horschel in a tie for sixth in the mix. So everybody else here in the mix, you know, they'd love to play.
Yeah, Matt Fitzpatrick, 13 under par, one shot clear. Ryan Fox, Billy Horschel, both inside the top 10. Matt Wallace, Peter Uihlein, Nicholas Cole starts lurking as well. Mark, this is such a unique situation, not only because of the weather, but because of what Greg just mentioned, where we're playing across three golf courses. Even if two of them are perfectly dry, it's 90 and sunny. If we can't play on one golf course, this tournament cannot move forward. It's the sanctity, the integrity of the game that everybody gets to play one round at all three golf courses. So if Carnoustie is not ready on Monday, this tournament will not proceed.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, really, because it's such a great event and it's a pro-am sort of format, kind of like Pebble Beach. And the stories that come out of there are just incredible. And it's a celebration of Lynx golf. And honestly, if there was a tournament I would love to play in, it would be that one. That's how great it is when you play the old course, when you play Kings Barnes and Carnoustie. I mean, what more do you want? My only observation is that, look, all of these golf courses are sand-based because they're Lynx land. And if you're seeing that amount of standing water, the rain that fell must have been biblical. I mean, I'm surprised we didn't see Moses and his ark come cruising by, because those pictures, when I saw them the first time, were mind-numbing. And I just kept on thinking, but hold on, this is right next to the ocean. I mean, look at that there. It honestly looks like 18. Look, I can understand there's a burn that runs through there. It looks like a lake. And if you didn't know where it was, I'd win lots of bets with that picture, saying to folks, hey, this is Carnoustie, the 18th fairway, because people wouldn't believe it.
I'm surprised there's not sailboats in that picture. I mean, it looks like the Calabogie Sound. Right? I mean, that's crazy. Yeah. Is that the ocean course?
There are.
Kind of looks like the ocean course with a clubhouse like that, doesn't it?
Right.
It looks like a floating clubhouse. It is very bizarre to see. So fingers crossed, they're going to, I'm sure, do everything they can. But I, you know, if I were a betting man, I don't know if they're going to get this thing in. We'll see. Hopefully they do. So what, 18 holes. And then if they do get it in, it'll be a 54 hole official event. If they don't, they'll wipe it. Matt Fitzpatrick does not get a victory. Yep.
So he doesn't get the victory because they called Riviera 1 year after 36 holes. It was unofficial. They weren't ranking points and such, world ranking points, but the money was given to Adam Scott.
I do not know about the cash. I'm sure Matt Fitzpatrick and everyone else will be lobbying for that exact scenario to play out. That would be pretty nice. I don't know. I don't know about that. We'll have to keep an eye out. The PGA Tour is headed to my neck of the woods next week, Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And a little history will be made, Greg. Lexi Thompson's going to tee it up. She's going to be the seventh female golfer to play on the PGA Tour. She's been on our television screens a lot recently, obviously with the Solheim Cup and one of the more popular American golfers that we have out here. She is going to battle it out at TPC Summerlin and see if she can make a little bit of noise.
This is normally where we do a trivia question. So I'll take it upon myself.
Yeah.
We have Brittany Lincecum,
mm-hmm.
Michelle Wee West.
Yeah.
Annika.
Yep.
The one that most would probably miss is Susie Whaley.
But not you.
But not me. Yes. And I know there's one more.
Yeah. There's two more.
There's two more. Hmm. Yeah, that's
wasn't Stacey Lewis one?
Not Stacey Lewis. Mark, somebody from your time, 1935, 1937.
Well, that would be Babe Didrikson.
Yep.
Harris.
Yep. So she was the first, right? So we're missing. This is by far the most difficult one. 1952 Northern California Reno Open. Shirley Spork. Remember that one?
No.
Spork. Isn't that a spoon and a fork in one?
That's right.
Yeah.
She invented it.
Yeah, cool.
Where do they have those? KFC?
they used to have them at Wendy's. I don't know if they're at KFC.
Huh. Well, anyway, not a big fast food guy. But okay, that makes me feel better. I must have been looking at a list that was since, you know, since 1950 or something. So I missed two of them. But anyway, here nor there, history being made. It's pretty cool to see. We'll see what, you know, she's obviously a wonderful player and she competes with these guys. I mean, she plays in the QBE shootout, right?
Yes.
She quite often plays in that. So she's comfortable. I know she's playing down in South Florida and they'll tee it up from time to time. So I don't think she'll be uncomfortable because of the players. She knows what she's up against as far as the competition, but it's just a really cool list to be added to for someone like Lexi Thompson.
Rick, I think well deserved. Now, I know she's copped a lot of grief here lately because of what happened in the Solheim Cup and the fact that she was so curt with the media and the press room and stuff, but the Lexi I know, and I've met her twice, and the first time I met her, I honestly was starstruck, and I don't get that very much because she's an imposing figure, and she's a hell of a golfer, but she's surprisingly shy, and so when you put a microphone in her face, I can see why she answers questions like she does, because there's not a whole lot of, you know, skill with the media there. But that's just her natural bent. So I really hope she gets out there and plays well, so she doesn't have to field some of these questions. And then on the flip side, maybe you can do this for me. Get in the media center over there and just lobby the guys and say, hey, leave the Solheim Cup alone now. Let bygones be bygones. You know, every golf hits bad shots and stuff. And let's just, to Greg's point, let's just laud her for getting an invitation to an event. Now, people will shout and go, oh, this is a publicity stunt and stuff like that. She, remember, this was a young woman, girl, who played in the US Open as a 12-year-old, I think it was. I mean, she has done stuff in golf that a lot of us aspire to. So more power to her. I hope she goes there and plays well.
Do you think I have that much pull in the media center, Mark, that if I lay off, should anybody will care what I have to say about
I do.
Yeah, you know some folks that hang around on the strip there, too, that could enforce wills a little bit, you know?
That's right. Yeah. I'll, don't mess with us in a home game. It will be interesting, Greg. Obviously, you know, the one thing that she statistically is great on the LPGA, she's very long off the tee, but she will be much shorter than everyone else on the PGA Tour. Now, as far as places go, TPC Summerlin, not a place you need a lot of distance. It's at high altitude. It is probably one of the better spots for her to tee it up. And I do like your idea that, hey, she's very comfortable playing with and against the guys. She does it basically every year, just not in an official PGA Tour capacity.
Yeah, I really think she'll be able to play her game, you know, and I don't know if that's well enough to make a cut. We see players half the field on the PGA Tour every week misses the cut because they didn't have their best stuff. You know, you see things. This is something that always amazes me as well. Players who can struggle on the PGA Tour so mightily, as soon as they go to an opposite field event or a Corn Ferry Tour event, they're up near the top of the leaderboard. And it speaks to something that you don't really see on TV, which is the setup of the golf courses as far as hole locations are concerned. And they really put hole locations in much more difficult spots on the PGA Tour. So that will, in all likelihood, challenge her weakness a little bit more. And I think tee to green, she'll be fine. And it's going to come down to what she's able to do on the greens.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Maybe I'll be on the Lexi beat next week and I'll follow around and see how she does. I'm looking forward to getting out there. Anything else, boys, before we get out? Going once?
No, sir.
Going twice? All right. Pleasure as usual. Monday, Tuesday, Sunday next week for Shriners Children's Open. Big thanks to producer Josh for all the hard work behind the scenes. Mark Immelman, you can find him online at @Mark_Immelman, Greg Ducharme at @TheRealGFD, and you can find me at Rick Rungood. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.